Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:37 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is May 8th. I apologize for the technical glitches that I've experienced over the last two occasions. And the one on Thursday, it was my fourth attempt to record, and I just didn't have the heart to do it a fifth time. And the one on Friday, 37 minutes into the audio, unfortunately, I was just about to wrap up, so but I should have put a note in the piece on Friday to correct it. I believe, after much trial and error and speaking with the help desk, that it has been this situation has been resolved. So with any luck, that will be the last occasion on which my audios will be cut off in mid-sentence. This has been an eventful weekend, not only because I've been messing with the audio for nearly 2 days, but because Macron won the French election, and there was a certain amount of buy the rumor and sell the news to this event, because the stock markets were a little bit softer in response to this news. It just gives us an idea of just how much good news had been priced in, that his victory, and indeed the margin of victory, was priced into the market. I had anticipated that Le Pen would perhaps have closed that margin before the eventual result, and that did not occur. But nonetheless, that there has been a great deal of good news priced into European shares. They have done very well, and now the likelihood is that we're going to get at least some pause and consolidation. Macron has got quite the task in front of him to attempt to, I guess, stamp his authority on the French political scene, since his own party doesn't really hold any positions. So this is going to be, I think, a difficult time, and the potential for some pause and consolidation, I think, has to be the base case at this stage. Wall Street was pretty much unchanged in here today. The S&P 500 has not yet moved on to a new high. It is still pausing in the region of this 2400 area. The Nasdaq 100, which broke out in emphatic style in the last few weeks, was in mildly positive territory to post another new high. But again, this was pretty much a day where not a great deal happened. In the government bond markets, we are seeing increasing evidence of a rate hike for June being priced in, and it is looking increasingly likely that that is a failed downside break below the lower side of the range, and that the yield has at least paused in the region of 2.2%. So there is an increasing possibility that we're going to go right back up and test the upper side of that range. And it is a pivotal period of time, because that area also represents the region of the trend mean. And this is a volatile base formation that's been in development now for 5 years already. And it may not feel like that. It feels like really only yesterday, but 5 years is 5 years. And we know that if this is indeed a type 3 bottom, that it can go on for quite some time. So therefore, what will really confirm that the base has been completed, not just that there is a base formation, but that it has been completed, would be a sustained move above 3%. Then we would have very clear evidence that the buy the dip strategy has failed. There is a great deal of unease in the market right now about China. The A600 Banks Index broke downwards 3 weeks ago. So that is a loss of uptrend consistency. It was a pretty modest advance to begin with. The defining characteristic of that advance over the last year and a half has been the progression of higher reaction lows, and now that has been broken. Nonetheless, the index did find at least short-term support in here today, and it was well off its lows. So there is the potential that we're going to get at least a pause, a consolidation, but it's going to have to do more than that. It's going to have to push back above the trend mean and at least break the progression of lower rally highs over the last 3 months to confirm that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. When we look at some of the other things that might give us an indication of what's going on in China, then the Shanghai Property Index has got to be one of those, and it's right in the region of the trend mean right now. It has been a pretty spiky advance, but it has pulled back and it is back in an area of potential support, and it has at least steadied, but it needs to continue to steady. When we think about the Chinese market, then it's a lot like thinking about the US market, and we just have to think about what part of it are we talking about, because there is the centrally controlled banking sector, which has broken down. There is the property sector, which has been reasonably steady. There is the commodity sector, and I think a lot of people will be looking at the iron ore price. It has pulled back really very sharply over the last month. This has also broken its progression of higher reaction lows. So now this is opening up the question that is there demand for all of this additional supply that's been brought online over the last few years? And that represents really quite a large question. And it's a similar question, I think, is being asked of copper. Copper prices are still trading in the region of $2.50 per pound on COMEX, and this is a potential area of support. But if copper were to follow iron ore prices lower, well, then we would certainly be into a more corrective environment for industrial commodities. The continuous commodity index, which has been led lower by the soft commodity complex, was a little bit steadier in here today, and it is hovering around this 400 area, but it's only barely steady. And this is also tied to the Chinese market. There was a chart that someone had sent through, and I'm going to pull that up. And what it gives us is it's not a particularly good chart, because it doesn't tell us what these numbers on the left-hand side mean. But what it is saying is that People's Bank of China liquidity has been declining since the beginning of this year. The Chinese are trying to pull back on the proliferation of the shadow banking sector. And the shadow banking sector can be looked on in another way as a private lending club proliferation, or the way that they describe themselves as in inverted commas Chinese hedge funds, that a lot of these private lending clubs were organized by the banks. They were sold to Communist Party cadres. The fact that they had so many of those Communist Party members as investors in these private lending clubs, then that was assumed would give it some government backing. And in fact, that is, it might not have been an explicit backing, but it was certainly implicit. And that's part of the reason that you've had this massive move in the size of the shadow banking sector, because they were guaranteeing returns of 10 and 12% with no prospect of losing your money, because you had this implicit backing from the government. And this removal of liquidity by the People's Bank of China is an attempt to put a lid on that. So I think that that is where you're getting some pressure coming into the market. But at the same time, the PBOC is taking with one hand, it's giving with another. We still have low interest rates. They are willing to pump money into the banking sector when it's required. They are necessitating that the banks have to lend. So that is contributing to the underperformance of the banking sector, because the banks are being squeezed. But by squeezing the banks, they're ensuring that liquidity is moving out there into the wider economy. So in here today, you did have a JD.com, which is one of the big e-retailers, and that moved on to a new high today. It's posted its first profit. Alibaba, which is in the same sector, has been also in a recovery trajectory. So when you look at those, and they are representative of another part of the Chinese economy, which is the consumer, and they continue to do pretty well. If that is indeed the case, then yes, there is pressure coming into a certain part of the Chinese economy, but I think it is dangerous to to simply brush the entire market with the same conclusion. There are clear highlights. There are clear areas where there are pressures. There are clear areas where there are highlights. And that is why I drew the comparison with the US. The US is such a large market that you couldn't possibly say that the whole market is. You can't brush the entire market with the same conclusion. The other markets that were worthy of mention in here today were the currency markets. The euro, having been really quite firm ahead of the French election, was a little bit weaker in here today, but it is forming a downside key reversal, but not in a particularly dynamic fashion. If we look back over the course of the year, we know what dynamic moves in the euro look like, but it does suggest that at least a pause in consolidation is now underway for the euro, that this has been a buy the rumor, sell the news type of strategy, and that 110 area is a psychological level. The big question now is the extent to which you can hold on to the majority of this rally. And the most important thing that we can see on that weekly chart is the progression of higher reaction lows off the bottom in January. That absolutely needs to hold if the euro's recovery is going to be given any kind of credence. The other currency that moved quite a lot today was the Swiss franc, and this has been really quite inert for over 2 years already, but there is a clear progression of higher reaction lows over the last 2.5 years, and now we're getting a bounce once more, and that is certainly some support starting to come back in around the 99 and pushing back to parity. When we look at then some of the commodity currencies, they are going to be very closely tied to what's happening in the oil price. It's been our contention for what feels like a really long time at this stage that oil prices are not going to be trending higher in a broadly consistent manner. They did rally well off the low on Friday, so we are getting a bit of a pause and a consolidation in the context of this rather sharp pullback that we had in the first half of last week. But this is still a supply-dominated environment. The progression of higher reaction lows since the beginning, or really, I guess, around this time last year, has been broken. So it really is for the bulls to prove at this stage, and that is having an impact on a number of the commodity-related currencies. The Canadian dollar, which had rallied significantly to test its 2008 peak back in 2010, had accelerated to that, or the dollar had accelerated to that peak at the beginning of last year. But since then, it's held a progression of higher reaction lows again, and the Canadian dollar does look susceptible to some additional weakness if oil prices do not rally in a meaningful way. In Latin America, the Chilean peso is also worthy of mention here, that the dollar has broken its progression of lower rally highs, that a significant number of commodity currencies had found support around January of last year, and they had successfully rallied back to close those overextensions relative to the trend mean. But now is the point at which questions are being asked, because commodities are not performing, and that is going to represent a headwind for some of these commodity currencies. So, for example, the Brazilian real, which had really accelerated to that low around 4 and come all the way back to 3, the question is now what's going to have to go right for it to strengthen beyond where it already has. The South African rand pulled back really quite sharply from that 12 area. It's now testing the region of the trend mean and the progression of lower rally highs since January of last year. A sustained move above 14 would signal that this period of relative strength for the South African rand is over. So I think we are at a rather interesting point here for some of these commodity currencies, if indeed the commodity complex does not firm and firm soon. And if that is the case, it's probably worth looking at gold, because gold prices were a little bit firmer in here today, but we can see on the chart that it not in a convincing manner. They were not able to hold their highs. The $1,227 area is there's nothing particularly psychological about it. The progression of high reaction lows is the thing that I think people will be watching. The $1,200 area was where the last important support was found, and if the progression of higher reaction lows is going to hold, then it's going to have to bounce from above that level on this occasion. There is a short-term oversold condition, but the longer it fails to sustain rallies, the less convincing that short-term oversold condition will be. Platinum prices were also in mildly positive territory in here today, up about $10. They held on to more of the rally. They had also come back to a more convincing area of support around that $900 area, but they have certainly have got work to do in here. And if we go back and think about China and the commodity complex, the other asset that is strongly linked to China is Bitcoin. And Bitcoin prices are at $1,600. So that is really quite a substantial price. We have had some volatility creeping in over the last 3 days, and prices are firming once more. We can also see that over the course of the last year and a half that there have been some swingeing pullbacks, and generally from new highs where you've had quite clear overextensions. The trend mean right now is close to $1,000, so prices are 60% overextended relative to the trend mean. That puts Bitcoin at really quite a substantial risk of a pullback. But the broader question is, and there are, I think, the biggest risk. Certainly, there is the hard fork that is a risk. The biggest risk to Bitcoin is that the Chinese put the Bitcoin exchanges behind the firewall and make it difficult for Chinese investors to access the Bitcoin exchanges via the internet. Were that to occur, that would certainly put a headwind in front of additional demand, and then we could see prices pulling back. That could be a potential catalyst for at least a pullback and consolidation. This is an accelerating market. In the absence of a clear upward dynamic, excuse me, downward dynamic, we would have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But we know that when you've got an overextension of this size, that when it pulls back, it is going to pull back violently. I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'm quite happy to report that this was my first attempt to record the audio, and I haven't been kicked out of it. So hopefully the gremlins have been excised from the system. Thank you for your attention.